The views expressed on the Big Shiny podcast do not express the views of Big Shiny Robot as a whole, its subsidiaries, or its sponsors.
And the Big Shiny podcast contains coarse language like penis butt. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey man, I'm Kevin Smith.
Jason Mewes.
Welcome to Big Shiny Robot.
You should bring that up while on the podcast, you asshole.
I thought we were recording.
Welcome to the latest episode of the Big Shiny Podcast. We are recording right from our wonderful sponsors, the Bohemian Brewery, in the brewery, surrounded by vats, or what would be the official name of these?
Fermenters.
Fermenters of delicious Bohemian beer. Joining me this week, as usual, Tom, Lucas, and Kylie from the Big Shiny Podcast. And we've got Brian, the other half of the co-founding party of BigShinyRobot.com.
Howdy do.
Hello, sir. You just got back from Celebration.
I did.
We're
going to
talk about it later.
Okay.
Oh. Tyson's a few in. He gets a little.
I'm a few in. I get a little slack. And also joining us, two awesome guys from the Bohemian Brewery.
Hey.
Will and Andy.
What's happening?
We are all sitting in Adirondack chairs, and we are a couple beers in. So this is going to be a special episode of the Big Shiny Podcast.
Yep.
And I'll have you know, beer is actively fermenting as we speak.
Yes, that's that lovely bubbling sound you hear in the background. So just so in case anyone doubts, we're on location.
Let's take a moment and just listen.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Do you guys ever just come back here and listen to the beer ferment?
In my mouth.
Fair enough.
All right, so Will, Andy, to start us off, I think we got to check your guys' geek cred. I'm not going to quiz you. Just tell me, tell the folks a little bit about yourself and like what your geek passion is. And it doesn't have to be, you know, a specific comic book or movie or anything like that. Like, Andy, I know you're into music and stuff like that. That's a geek thing, so have at it. And get in on that mic.
Yeah, Will, have at it.
I just realized, I was just told that my, like, huge passion in my life is a geek thing, and it's kind of setting in a little bit. I hadn't realized it until this time.
Andy seemed pretty upset.
But yeah, I didn't realize, but yeah.
Do you like Rush?
No, I'm not. No, I don't take it to
that
level.
He's not too much of a geek then.
Well, I think maybe Tyson meant like geek out.
I got it.
You went to Africa for music, didn't you?
No. Somebody did. No, that wasn't me.
Oh, it wasn't you?
But
a different country.
Oh, different guy.
I geek out on stuff, you know.
Will, what do you geek out on?
Name one thing specifically.
Jeez, you know.
Favorite movie series? Favorite superhero. How about that? Favorite superhero. Everyone's got one.
I don't really have a favorite, per se. Will, what's your favorite?
Forget about it.
What's your favorite?
I like Batman.
You gotta talk in the mic.
I like Batman. I don't know. I like the Spider-Man, the classics.
You married? You have a girlfriend? We should introduce him to Danielle.
Married, yes.
He's in the Legos. You and your boy play the Legos.
I'm a closet gamer. I enjoy the classics like Street Fighter, the Mario Brothers, Mortal Kombat, you name it.
Oh, nice.
And I will, like, take any one of you motherfuckers down in any of those games.
Oh, he's getting invited to our next Street Fighter night.
Has been thrown.
Just throwing that out there. I enjoy Legos. Lucas, you nailed that one. Yes, Legos
yes,
are fun.
Sir.
I use my child as kind of
a front,
a
beard
for my Lego addiction.
It's good because they're expensive.
Yes, indeed.
But for myself?
Because he can't afford it, so.
I just buy them.
Yeah. Yeah, Tyson uses
well,
his
grandma gives
friend.
Him a little money or something. Like,
let's go buy you a new Lego set.
Yeah, college fund, Lego, whatever.
I like it. All right, so since the last episode of the Big Shiny Podcast, we've had some pretty big things drop. I think we have to talk about Star Wars right off the bat.
Do we?
Well, you're here.
Can we?
So I don't think we have a choice. If I were to bring up Batman v Superman first, I think you'd throw your beer at me.
No, let's do Batman
Can
v Superman
Can we talk about
first.
The amazing meme I saw that replaced Superman with Wonder Woman?
No.
Oh. Well, then,
was it as sad as Superman is these days?
It was a menstruation joke. I don't know if that's sad or awesome.
Or just sexist.
Well, let's table that one.
Okay. Yeah.
Put a pin in it, Tom. We'll come back to it never.
But like a lot of Star Wars stuff happened. There are two trailers and then a trailer not everybody else got to see.
Yeah, so they at Star Wars Celebration, they released the new teaser trailer for The Force Awakens. They released the new trailer for the Rebels Season 2. And a trailer for Rogue One, which is the first of what they're calling Star Wars anthology films, which they're describing as a straight-up war movie.
So that's what those solo movies that aren't in the trilogy are called?
They're going to be Star Wars anthology.
Gotcha. Are you able to tell us a little bit about the Rogue One trailer?
Yeah, so
that's the one we didn't see, right? Unless you were at Celebration.
The Rogue One trailer is basically... So the idea for the movie is it's a group of rebels uniting to steal the plans to the first Death Star, right?
Oh, okay.
And so the trailer opens up with a black Lucasfilm logo, kind of like the chrome one that they used for The Force Awakens. And you see this jungle planet, and you hear Obi-Wan Kenobi's voice say, you know, for over 1,000 generations, the Jedi Knights were the guardians of peace and justice in the Old Republic, before the dark times, before the Empire. And the camera pans over this jungle planet, and you see some wildlife going, and you hear them moving around, and you hear and see a TIE fighter fly right over your head. And the camera moves up, and it keeps moving forward, and you see the outline of a moon. And it moves through the valley of jungle planet, and you realize that that's no moon.
Is it a space station?
It's a space station. And then it cuts out to the new logo for the film, and you hear like radio chatter of troops going like, "We need help! Help us! Get us out of here! We need an extraction!" And then it just winks out, and that's it.
It would have been better, too, if, like, in the background you heard, "It's a trap!"
No one would have taken it seriously at that point.
I know, so, but it still would have been awesome.
So who's attached to this?
So Gareth Edwards, who directed Godzilla and Monsters, is directing it. And so far, the only star they've announced is Felicity Jones. Hmm. And it comes from a story by John Knoll, who was the supervising, like, special effects coordinator behind... all the Next Generation Star Trek movies, the Star Wars Special Editions, and the Star Wars prequels, but you would probably recognize him as the guy, him and his brother wrote the first version of Photoshop.
Hmm. Like Photoshop the movie?
No, like Photoshop like the Adobe. Program.
Adobe. Like what we all make a living off of.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so he's a really smart guy, is essentially...
What was the Titus Saving Private Ryan? Was there a specific individual or just the tone?
Okay, the special effects coordinator, I believe, did the special effects for Saving Private Ryan and The Hurt Locker. Okay. And the director of photography is the person who shot Zero Dark Thirty.
Gotcha.
So, they're putting together a war movie.
That's awesome. And then the... aside from The Force Awakens, we also saw the trailer for the new season of Star Wars Rebels.
Yes. And Brian also got to see the first two episodes
season 2. Dude.
Can I peanut gallery it real quick, since that's what I'm good at? That's why I'm here.
That's why you're here, Tom.
So as somebody who does not follow Star Wars lore really at all, and...
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, Brian, I don't know why we get along. We should.
Me neither.
Oh, that's hot. Lucas, what the hell, man?
I don't know. What happened?
You said he'd be nice to me.
Go ahead.
He's been
anyway,
nice to you.
Anyway, the Rebels trailer was fucking rad. Like, having absolutely no context, I still had a half chub. That's all I'm saying.
In the premiere, so like 90% of that trailer is Darth Vader just tearing everything apart, and that's all in the season premiere. Like, so all that stuff of Vader that you saw in the trailer is all in the premiere, and I swear I have never seen Darth Vader scarier than in those two episodes of the show. Ever. Like, in A New Hope, he's kind of scary, he's imposing, but in this, he's, like, at the height of all of his power, and he's just tearing everything apart.
You're tearing us apart!
Well, like, okay, so you saw in the trailer where he shows up around that, like, little rebel fleet in the A-Wing squadron, and he shows up in his one-man fighter with no shields and just starts tearing them apart. This is after the rebels are trying to get away. They've already escaped Vader once, and they're like, "We need to get the hell out of here." And his lone ship just jumps in, and he starts single-handedly destroying what there is of this roughly assembled rebel fleet in a ship with no shields, and just tears apart an entire squadron of A-wings, the capital ships, everything, by himself.
Sounds pretty awesome.
It's terrifying.
I was going to say, that sounds terrifying. Like, in the original trilogy, I mean, Darth Vader's definitely the villain, right? But even as a kid, I never found him to be, quote-unquote, scary, right? I mean, he's the bad guy, so it's kind of cool to be able to see him in his, it sounds like, to see him in his prime just tearing shit up.
And that's not even, like, the important stuff in the episode, which I won't go into because we don't even have a release date for those episodes.
Right. But I imagine probably the fall, though. I mean...
That's my guess. I've heard earlier. I've heard later.
So my call-out is the guy that leaked the first half of Game of Thrones Season 5, where you at, dog? Like,
he probably works for HBO.
Oh, yeah, probably. Well, worked.
Yeah, he's probably fired by now.
Does HBO need to leak the first four episodes?
No, because watching them makes you wonder what the hell you're going to do with the next 4 weeks of your life.
Which is why I didn't watch the leaked ones, and I space them out week
Smart
over week.
Play, because I'm jonesing.
Yeah.
Tom's free for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah. And then we're home.
Oh, man. So that Force Awakens trailer. You guys all watched it, right? You two saw it.
Even us.
And Andy, who's not geeky about anything except for maybe music.
I watched it twice, yeah.
Oh.
Wasn't that a I want to hear your guys' reaction to it, because I spent a lot of time.
Tracy, you guys can take... Here. Let's do this.
The guy does look a lot like Tracy Morgan. Yes. Like,
There we go. You guys can pass that back and forth.
Have you guys seen Attack the Block?
Yeah.
He's the lead in Attack the Block. He's really? So good. Yeah, he's the kid in Attack the Block.
Oh, okay. I need to rewatch that.
So I want to hear what you guys thought.
Yeah, Will, you got the mic.
Will, you got the mic. Put it up to your mouth.
What did you think?
Well, it leaves you anticipating more. I mean, you want to see that movie when it comes out.
It's very true.
The job of trailer, yeah.
But seriously, what's Tracy Morgan doing there? Is there going to be a comedic aspect? I want to know. Why is he wearing a stormtrooper outfit?
It's good speculation. Why is Tracy Morgan wearing a stormtrooper outfit, Brian?
Did they talk about that at all at Celebration, why Tracy Morgan's in it?
No, and I think it might be surprising to Tracy Morgan because he spent the last 6 months in a hospital.
See, which is great.
he's back on his feet.
He's recovered.
This is a cover for him.
From terrible car accident... to a partial lead in the Star Wars movie, the Tracy Morgan story.
Yep.
Spawns a whole different movie.
Brian, I bet this is the best Star Wars conversation you've ever had.
It's the most stimulating I've had all week.
That's good.
I will say, so as we were talking about over dinner, and I've mentioned several times, like as a kid, you know, growing up watching the original trilogy, I always wanted more of that. I wanted to see what happened next. So to finally be getting that, I'm really, really excited. The first teaser that came out, gave me chills whenever that the theme came up and just started playing with the Millennium Falcon outrunning all those trying to evade all those TIE fighters. This time I was really waiting for the theme to boom in again. I mean, I know it was a different trailer, but I really wanted that. But it didn't disappoint me at all. I think they all knew we wanted to see some of the original characters in there, even if it was just a glimpse. They gave that to us in spades. Han and Chewie at the very
end. Han Solo and Chewie.
Yeah.
They're home.
That's all we needed, and totally. Who knows what the hell that means,
well,
right?
No kidding. Like they're on the Millennium Falcon. Han Solo saying that like he hasn't seen it in years, and they're aiming guns at someone. Like,
right.
What the hell's that mean?
Yeah. Well, Chewie's aiming his bowcaster at someone.
Han's got his blaster up.
Does he?
Yeah.
I didn't notice he had his blaster up.
Is he going to shoot first?
Tom,
or
don't.
Or just period.
Yeah.
Shoot.
He's looking pretty old.
Yeah.
He is, but it's been 30 years. And he's got a really nice jacket now.
Do you think he'll miraculously crash the Millennium Falcon and walk away from it?
Maybe.
I don't know. I think his days are not. I think we might see the death of Han Solo in this movie.
Something that I think Tyson had mentioned before, too.
I agree.
I think we would tend to agree. Because he, from
what
I understand...
You don't seem prepared for that, Will.
I'm not prepared.
He was originally wanted to die at the end of Return of the Jedi.
White.
Yeah. Well, I would have loved to see him die at the end of Return of the Jedi, to be honest.
The Rebels didn't really pay any huge...
None, in fact. No price.
For that.
And I don't think... I'd like to hear your thoughts on this, Brian. I think Luke Skywalker is going to be relegated to little more than an extended cameo in the first film, and then we'll see more of him in the second and third.
I'd like to say I disagree before he gets to say anything.
I don't know. What I do know is the only thing we know... from Mark Hamill personally about Luke Skywalker in these next movies is actually from an interview from 30 years ago.
Okay.
Right.
He did an interview. It was an interview for Return of the Jedi where he said, George Lucas told me this great idea he's got for episode 7, 8, and 9. I'm going to come back and I'm going to be the Obi-Wan character, and I'm going to pass my lightsaber on to somebody else. And we saw Luke 30 years later, and somebody's getting a lightsaber passed to them.
Tracy Morgan.
And not just anybody's lightsaber. Right. That's Anakin and Luke's lightsaber. That's the lightsaber that Luke was holding when his hand got cut off on Cloud City.
Yep.
Why? How did it happen? How did it get there?
Yep.
I don't know.
I think it was Jabba the Hutt.
Family jewels?
Jabba the Hutt was dead. Luke Skywalker murdered him.
There's going to be like a miniseries about the lightsaber.
Luke killed all of his henchmen. I'm going to be one of the people, like one of the new leads in this movie has to be a Skywalker, and I won't buy it unless they go to Tatooine and murder everyone. Because that's what Skywalkers do.
That's like their MO, right?
Yeah.
Like, we go to Tatooine and we murder at least a dozen people.
Yeah.
It's a rite of passage.
Yeah.
As a Skywalker.
My boy, you're 16
you're
now.
Some shit.
Yeah, it's true. On Tatooine.
Only on Tatooine, though.
Yeah,
they've got like a free pass there. They've got like James Bond's License to Kill.
But it's like one of those two rednecks out in the South, the two families that are always fighting each other.
They bring in someone like...
There you go. The Skywalkers and the Tatooine people.
Could you imagine like they roll up though and you've got like Thug Life playing in the background. They get out of their car and pull the lightsaber.
Like, oh damn, it's them Skywalkers.
Run.
You wouldn't get out of the way.
They run away in single file so they can hide their numbers.
But that was a
Brian joke.
No, I got that. But I'm curious though, like why everybody's so down on Anakin murdering all the sand people, but Luke does exactly the same thing to all of Jabba's
henchmen. Because
sand
people have fucking weird faces.
For the same reason.
Let me tell you
what. I'm not actually... That was rhetorical.
No,
I'm not
interested rhetorical,
in your,
but I'll answer.
The sand people are different, and different is bad.
You can't ask rhetorical questions in front of Tyson.
No. Yeah, because Anakin bitched and cried about it after he did it. Luke never said another fucking word about it. He walked away.
He just dropped the mic.
Yeah, he just dropped the lightsaber. He's just like... Don't need this anymore.
He took his guitar string and dipped it into pen ink and just tattooed the fucking marks on like six more motherfuckers and walked away.
That scene in the novelization was awesome.
Which scene? I was looking for when he comes out of the hut and kills everybody.
Okay.
So you read Vader number one, right? The comic book?
Yes.
Have you read it? Anybody else? Just Kylie?
I read
Lucas.
Kylie's read all
amazing?
The things.
So like Vader's got some business on Tatooine years later, and he's like, well, I'm on Tatooine. I got some spare time. I might as well murder all the sand people again.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
He's just like, well,
I'm here. I might as well.
Gotta keep Tatooine. The population down, you know.
he's a Skywalker.
They know better.
Damn.
So you were saying?
Oh, in the novelization of the book, that was one of the things I was looking forward to in the movie, and all you see is him come out of the hut and one sand person come running around, you just see the lightsaber go, and it cuts to the next scene. I was like, oh no, he was dropping boulders on people. It was carnage.
So in the comic book with the sand people, how do they like write that sound they make?
They didn't actually. So he's having a meeting, and he like organizes the meeting over the corpses of all of the sand people he's already murdered. They're like, so Boba Fett and this Wookiee bounty hunter that he's like hiring to go do some work for him, he's having a meeting with them, and you don't see anything. All the angles are like at three quarters looking up at them, and they're like, well, what are you doing next? He's like, well, my work here is done, and it cuts to the wide shot, and they're just like in the smoking wreckage of all of the sand people he's just murdered. So he's like, not only am I going to murder them, I'm going to have a business meeting there at the same time.
It's like one of those holograph, like, what do you call it?
No, they showed up, too.
Conference
like,
calls, if you will.
Yeah.
Futuristic conference calls.
Yeah.
And I like to think that Darth Vader continued to have his meetings there. Like, no, guys, team meeting, everyone meet me down on Tatooine amongst the corpses of some freshly killed sand people.
It seems like Vader, they've done this before in other stories, but especially in this comic series, he's always like the skin of his teeth because he fucked up, you know? The Death Star exploded because of him, so he's always like, I could fucking die at any time because the Emperor is not happy with me, so I got to start moving all these other pawns around so I can one-up the Emperor. So it doesn't seem like he's in the Emperor's pocket nearly as much as you think he is.
In every bit of media they've put out, so I think this is the reason that they canceled Detours, which was the comedy show that Seth Green and Matt Senreich were doing. Mm-hmm. Right now they don't want anybody to think of Vader as the butt of a joke before The Force Awakens comes out. Mm-hmm. So in the comics he's murdering sand people again and he's like scary and he's assembling his own personal army to deal with Palpatine. In the books, in Lords of the Sith, he is menacing. He mm-hmm. is killing freedom fighters left and right, and he's doing it like a badass. In Rebels, he is single-handedly destroying the entire Rebel apparatus. Like,
sure.
They are making him a badass all over again to remind people how cool he is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why Detours got canceled, because how do you cross all this media together where he's like a badass and then he's like basically Dark Helmet on this show?
Yeah, true. Now that makes perfect sense. And I kind of figured that was going to be one of the first things to get scrapped when Lucasfilm.
I think it'll come out after Force Awakens.
You think?
Yeah. Well, that's what I've heard.
That'd be good for Seth Green.
I was looking forward to that.
Yeah, I was looking forward to that too. Anything else from Celebration that you can enlighten us with?
There was so much cool stuff there.
Practical effects.
BB-8.
Yeah, well, the practical effects. So they had a room where they had all of the like props and costumes from The Force Awakens there. And they had Kylo Ren's lightsaber, which there was a lot of like debate over the lightsaber. But after watching the trailer and seeing the names, like, they had a flame trooper there and a snow trooper.
Mm-hmm.
And they were labeled not as Imperials, but as members of the First Order, right?
Right.
Which sounds a lot like the Third Reich, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you go and watch that trailer and see all those World War II images in it, you think maybe Palpatine wasn't so much Hitler. Palpatine was Kaiser Wilhelm. And whoever is the new big bad guy is the Hitler character, George Lucas, who was behind the story for this. This guy's like a Hitler. That's why we see Vader's mask. That's why we see Anakin's lightsaber. That's why we see Kylo Ren's lightsaber. Like, these are guys hunting down relics of a time gone by, the mm-hmm. same way Hitler does in Raiders of the Lost Ark, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Kylo Ren's lightsaber, everybody was like, oh, that crossbar looks stupid. Why would anybody build one like that? I don't think Kylo Ren built it like that. I think he found it. There's like slashes across it. It looks really old. It's got wires coming out everywhere. So that's why I think like it looks more like flaming than a regular lightsaber.
It's not a smooth blade.
I think we're dealing with a person who is hunting artifacts of this bygone era, and Vader has everything to do with that.
Is he going to open like an old casket and all these Jedi ghosts are going to melt faces?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's what I heard, actually. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Right, look the other way.
Don't look, yeah, Mary.
Don't look, Mary. Oh, can I tell you, my wife and I decided that, you know what we haven't watched for a long time? Indiana Jones. And so we bought the HD versions off of iTunes, and I told her, I said, if we're watching this, downstairs on the big screen with the surround sounds. You know, I'm going to experience this like I haven't experienced it before. My sister-in-law, turns out, hadn't ever seen any of the Indiana Jones movies.
What planet is she from?
Right?
Tatooine.
I know.
The rest of her family was murdered by a Skywalker.
Yeah, so we had watched the first one already, and her husband was out of town, and so, you know, we told her, like, hey, come over and, you know, have some dinner. You know, don't just sit alone in your house. And we're watching Indiana Jones. She's like, well, I haven't seen the first one. I'm like, it's okay. You'll be fine. There's definitely callbacks to the previous movies, but you know, you can watch them all. They're very well done, self-contained stories. She loved them, freaking loved them, and I'm like, of course you did, because it's fucking Indiana Jones, and it's so goddamn good.
Like, as much as I hated the Crystal Skull,
I didn't hate it.
I even liked when he rides the fridge off the nuclear shockwave. That was a great fucking moment in a movie. Because you're like, damn right he did.
That's the one moment I hear people bitch about the most.
That was the least.
So Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
It really is.
How is that different than him jumping out of a plane into a river on a raft that's inflating?
Yeah, or dodging a giant fucking you know? Rolling rock.
My only complaint about that last movie is Shia LaBeouf swinging through the jungle with all the monkeys. Like, that's that. If I could say remove one thing from this movie and it would be a better movie.
Shia LaBeouf.
Not just Shia LaBeouf, because I don't have a problem with his character just inherently.
Just
but
that one scene.
Like that scene with the... It's just so fucking hokey.
The other thing I hear complaints about, other than that... I mean, I like the movie, is the aliens. Like, well, why does it have to be aliens? And it's like, well, it's in the 50s. It's supposed to be these sci-fi movies. But honestly, how are aliens somehow harder to buy than Shankara stones?
Right?
Thank you.
Or the
Thank
Ark you. Of the Covenant.
Yeah, that's right? what I said, yeah.
Or some other made-up biblical Grail. Bullshit.
Yes.
Or Temple of Doom as a whole.
I love
like
it.
Pulling the beating heart out of somebody and they continue to live until they
burn. That is a real thing. That is a thing.
So, When they said they were doing Indiana Jones 4, that's what I said I hoped for. Like, I hope they go into Roswell and the communism and that stuff.
Yeah.
And we got it.
It's perfect. It's interesting.
That movie did a great job with that.
I'd agree with Tyson. The stuff with the swing is the only part that I'm kind of like, skip.
Yeah.
Last Crusade's a baller.
That's my favorite. Last Crusade's my
Jehovah is spelled with an I.
The dog's name was Indiana. Like,
I love that moment where he throws the flagpole into the guy, he spins him out, and he looks over to his dad like he's satisfied, and his dad's just like, nope.
He's just like,
oh. And he just looks so disappointed.
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah, class it up, Indy.
No, I think my favorite's Raiders, and then my second favorite's Temple of Doom, and then Last Crusade. They each like... Raiders is like an 11. Temple of Doom is like a 10.5. Last Crusade's a 10. And Kingdom of the Crystal Skull is like a 9.5.
Yeah. No,
can I ask a...
They all go to 11.
I want to ask you a question, Brian.
Yeah. I want to answer a question, Lucas.
So, George Lucas, you love the guy. You love his stuff. But I want to ask you, what is your least favorite George Lucas?
Howard the Duck.
What?
He didn't think.
Hold on. You have to take Howard the Duck out of it because that's obvious.
Yeah, let's say the second. Because Howard the Duck, that's easy. But I'm curious. Like, what is the one thing you're most critical of him on that you're like, this didn't work for me?
Some of the special editions.
Really?
Some of the stuff in the special editions I didn't like. But I like.
We've talked about that.
More of what he did in the special editions than I didn't like. Mm-hmm. Some of the other movies he's done. I mean, the thing is like, I've heard people argue about Willow. I love Willow.
Willow's one of my favorites. Like Willow, Will?
Love Willow.
Will, I want you to grab that mic and pretend like it's Thomas's wiener.
But he's not going to hold
also
it.
Just put it in my mouth. Yeah. That's all you had to say.
The guy, George Lucas is responsible for so much of what made all of our childhoods awesome.
And if not him, his good friend Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, or the two of them combined. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think...
I don't ask that as a loaded question. I was
no, I yeah, or Jim Henson too. And you've got George Lucas producing like Dark Crystal and Labyrinth. Like Lucasfilm was working on Labyrinth and stuff. If I had to pick my least favorite of all the movies he produced, other than Howard the Duck, I'd probably go with actually Radioland Murders. But that's still a fun movie too.
Okay, I was just curious.
I don't
know. That's the only place I was taking it.
No, I think even the people who just drag his name through the mud because they don't like the prequels or what have you. I mean, you can't deny...
I'll have words with those people.
I know you will. I know you will, Brian. You have like we talked about it on... I was a guest on the latest episode of the Hello Sweetie podcast, and we talked about how when Danielle said something like slightly against the prequels that I told her, I said, he was in Anaheim at Celebration, and I guarantee he was probably sitting on a panel somewhere, and he felt like a tingle, and he's like, I gotta check Twitter.
With Danielle, though, and I don't know if she's gonna listen to this, but like, it's just because I'm teasing her.
Oh, no, no, like, she realized that, and we were teasing you in turn about having that the force that, you know, it feels like a million people
just cried out.
The thing
is, all the problems she has with Star Wars have answers. Like, they all have logical explanations.
You know what you sound like? You sound like these two Mormon guys on my porch 2 days ago trying to sell me some stuff.
So, I was on a panel at Star Wars Celebration.
Wait, did you feel the spirit?
No, and they didn't feel the beer I offered them either.
I was on a panel at Anaheim, and Ryan Call, who works with Salt Lake Comic Con, he does a lot of the panels, he was watching the panel. And I made a really bold statement, and it pissed a lot of people off. I'm like, without Jar Jar...
Fuck you.
Let me tell the story.
Okay, all right, tell the story.
So without Jar Jar, the Imperials would have never been defeated by the Rebellion at the Battle of Endor. And there's booze in the audience. People are like reacting like Tyson just did.
Sure.
And then I go into like this 4-minute explanation, and Ryan's like, I couldn't believe it. You won over this crowd of people who were literally ready to lynch you about this. And they're like, actually, that makes a lot of sense.
That's true. You're good at explaining Star Wars.
Yeah.
You're very good at explaining Star Wars.
And so what I was going to go back to, though, with the George Lucas stuff, he's done a lot more than, like, good than, you know, not as good or bad or whatever your opinion is.
Even if
is.
You count the stuff you don't like about the prequels or the special editions together, like all the awesome that's still in all those movies way outweighs the things you have
right,
a problem
and with. It's still like, it's fine. Like the special editions didn't bother me that much. It's just for me, like my biggest irritation from him is it just seems like the incessant tinkering.
But
especially with like the original trilogy.
I think a good way to explain that, and I actually talked to Brian about this, is when I was a kid, there was a certain version of the movie that I'd watched and fell in love with and have nostalgia for. So as these changes have made or the tinkering, it feels like the movie's kind of growing apart from me.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree.
You know, my nephew's watching it now. That's the version they'll probably love.
Well, right. There's a change everybody seems to dislike, except for me, apparently. Hayden Christensen is the Force ghost at the end of Return of the Jedi. That seems to bug a lot of people.
It's
but
true.
Imagine you're 9 years old, right? And you've grown up with the Clone Wars, you've grown up with the prequels, and you have as much fondness and love and nostalgia for those movies as you do the classic trilogy. And you see the character who was your hero for two movies and six seasons of a TV show finally there redeeming himself and is a good person. Like, that's a way more emotional moment for those people who are doing that. And the closer we get to the grave, the less that argument matters.
I would say I agree, but I wish it was the Clone Wars cartoon version.
I want so bad.
Why isn't Kenobi then Ewan McGregor?
No.
So the thing is there's two issues here. One,
Ewan McGregor is not Obi-Wan.
You could make an argument that Vader truly did cease to be Anakin Skywalker completely at that moment. George Lucas is a lot into myth, and there's a lot of religious. There's a lot of religious traditions where you get to take on the form in your afterlife that you felt most comfortable in. There's also that Anakin is the most powerful Jedi ever, right? And he's the only person who gets to have that Force ghost that no one specifically taught him how to do that. Qui-Gon wasn't able to take a physical form like that. He could only come back as a voice.
Yeah.
He taught Yoda how to do it, so Yoda was able to do it. Yoda taught Obi-Wan through Qui-Gon, and he was able to do it. Anakin has to piece this together by watching Obi-Wan disappear and go, why did that happen?
Now, the other reason for that is it would be really fucking hard to cut the other Obi-Wan Kenobi out of the movie and put Ewan McGregor over the top of him.
Yeah.
Therefore,
you mean like they did with Sebastian Shaw?
Yeah.
There's a special effects issue.
Yeah. So therefore, instead of doing that, they just do a religious thing on the side and explain it that way.
But still, and if you watch the end of Return of the Jedi and he takes the helmet off, that's not Hayden Christensen.
You're not Hayden Christensen.
No, I agree, but the thing, like with the
I see what you're saying. I was going back to this guy.
But
here.
I think
don't argue with him. Argue with Tom.
No. I just think
let's do
I
it.
I think that it has more. Emotional resonance for the newer generations of fans who have a fondness for the thing as a total package.
It's a long play.
And that's why part of why I don't think we're going to. That's one of the biggest reasons I don't think we're going to see the original theatrical versions of the movies out on formats other than bonus features like they were when they released them in 2006.
Yeah.
It's going to be confusing the audiences. Like, you finally trained a whole generation of Star Wars fans out of expecting that, and then you're going to give it back to them, and everybody's going to be confused again.
That makes sense.
30 years from now, it's not going to matter.
I thought they've announced that they are going to release them.
No.
Oh, okay.
It's not the original.
It's not official. It's always been like somebody kind of gets them riled up, and then one guy reports
it. It's all one article that was written in October 2012 that everybody goes back to and says, oh, this is the source. They're doing this. It's all conjecture. None of it's happening. So
I'm glad I didn't rush out and sell my fucking DVDs.
keep the DVDs. That's what
you can buy them all digitally, though.
The thing is there's two issues. One, Fox still owns the rights to distribute all the movies until 2020, except A New Hope, which they own in perpetuity for distribution forever because they paid for it. Now, if we're going to see those, I would say don't expect them at all before 2020 because Disney is going to have to pay Fox a truckload of money to be able to do that. Mm. They haven't made that deal. The other thing I would expect, either 2020 or George Lucas's death, because I don't know this for sure, but my suspicion is that when he sold it to Disney, there was a clause in there that they can't do that until he's gone because this is the version he wants of the film.
Hmm.
And to be honest, he's savvy enough that if this is the version he wants out there, he will have come up with a way to make sure that they can't do that.
Hmm.
That makes sense.
All right. Fair enough. All right.
That's 28 minutes of Star Wars talk.
I like Star Wars.
Here to talk about Star Wars.
I got a timer up on my iPad. I don't
you
need
have
to tell
a
me.
Timer?
Yeah.
Hey, Tyson, it's been 28 minutes.
It's actually been 32. You started yours late.
Your mom started late. Go ahead, throw another one at me. I got these for days.
I like that. I like that. That was good.
Let's talk about Batman v Superman. The big divorce case.
The Supreme Court decision.
It looks bad.
Did you see it, Will?
It does look
the trailer?
Horrible. I did see one of the Dragon Ball Z dudes.
Mike.
I did see a Dragon Ball Z guy. Was it Goku versus Superman? Did you ever see that?
Yeah, the flip
pretty incredible.
Yes, yes.
That's totally what it was.
That was actually better than the trailer.
I would say it was way more exciting.
So what, and I don't want to bring this back to Star Wars, but who on the marketing team said, hey, that Star Wars trailer dropped, we should drop our trailer too?
I think they did it intentionally because they saw the trailer and went, we got to cover this with something.
No, so
it was
it
not the
leaked.
Right thing to try.
No, Snyder posted teases like 2 days before the Star Wars trailer was going to come out. Everybody knew there was a Star Wars trailer coming out. And Snyder's like, I'm going to post this. And he timed it 15 minutes before the J.J. Abrams panel started. And then the next day, StarWars.com's like, we're live streaming everything. And... like, how is Snyder even going to compete with that?
I don't even think it's just Snyder, though. I think it's Warner Brothers and DC just...
don't know what they're doing.
They don't
shit on them on the
podcast. They don't know what they're doing. I think they feel like, oh, we have a movie finally featuring Batman and Superman together on screen. Like, it doesn't matter what trailer we're going up against, even if it is a new Star Wars film. This is going to get views and generate excitement. And I'll be honest, I have yet to see a single positive reaction to that trailer.
It's not
really. I've seen quite a few.
You know what I did right after I watched the Batman?
Throw up.
I watched the Star Wars trailer again.
How to get that taste out of your mouth.
Like, it wasn't.
And when was the last time you used Star Wars to get a bad taste out of your mouth, Kylie?
It's been a while for him.
It's a good point.
I mean, it wasn't all... I want to say it wasn't all bad, but I'm really struggling to find a point that made me really excited.
I was going to say, tell me what was good about it, Tom.
There's this meme.
there's this thing that makes fun of the trailer.
Yeah,
all the memes
it was great. No, I mean, I didn't mind the bat suit as much, like the robo-bat thing.
I think Ben Affleck's going to be the best thing in that movie.
Yeah,
I do too. I think he's going to be a great Batman, but I think the movie's going to be
the least
shit.
Of the worries.
Who
for
ever
that
thought
movie?
Yeah. Anyone would say that?
Ben Affleck's the smallest problem.
Yeah. Well, and...
The thing for me, I don't know if... Sorry, Tyson. The thing for me is the whole thing, the trailer felt like Superman Red Son. Like, Superman's this big dictator. People are bowing to him. There's a statue of him, and they've got to build him up to be a bad guy so that Batman will fight him.
Right.
It's like, is this really a Superman movie? Is this
right, and they didn't lay that movie? Foundation at all in Man of Steel, right? Like, now, I have always said that I will consider Man of Steel a better movie, like... than what I consider it now, meaning it would go from like a 6.5 to a 7 or a 7 to a 7.5. Thank you, sir. If in the next movie that Superman's in, that there is backlash towards all the destruction and all the chaos that he caused.
Cavill has come out as saying this is not a sequel.
What if he's Bizarro?
This is not a sequel to Man of Steel.
What does that fucking mean, though?
What if he's Bizarro Superman and real Superman is like in a bag floating through space somewhere?
You know what my problem with this movie is?
Hold on.
They got to get rid of him somehow.
What does he mean it's not a fucking sequel?
That they're not going to pick up any of the threads
but they,
from
they
the
don't,
first one.
There's no threads to be picked up.
Because
I'm saying is the only foundation was laid was like, okay, here's Superman. He exists. Like, you
know,
you don't
what?
Have to readdress
the
any
thread,
of that Zod shit.
No, the threat is now now they can say, well, since it's not a direct sequel, he wouldn't naturally just go and snap Bruce's neck.
Yeah. And maybe now...
Can I ask a legit question?
Yeah, yes, please.
How far is it from Metropolis to Gotham?
Batman, that's you.
So Metropolis and Gotham are both both stand-ins for New York City, though Gotham is more like Chicago. So Metropolis is more like... the inland version, and Gotham's like the coastal island version, like Manhattan.
Okay. So close.
Yeah, they're supposed to be close.
Close enough Batman can drive down there and whoop his ass.
I think
or yeah.
I think along Tom's line of thinking, my favorite meme to come out of it was the shot of the Batman suit, the Robo Batman suit, right? And it said always be Batman. And then below that it said, unless you can be Iron Man, then always be Iron Man.
So my problem with the trailer and with this movie in general is it doesn't look like it's going to be fun to watch.
No, it looks fucking dark. I watched the bootleg version, and I couldn't see shit what was going on. And I'm thinking, oh, well, bootleg version, you know, to be expected. The next day, they're like, oh, well, fuck it. We better release the actual version. It was still too fucking dark to see anything.
Like, I mean, Batman's going on, like, can you bleed? Like, I don't... Yeah,
tell me, do you bleed?
So, like, I don't care. I'm good for a moment. So, the meme...
Oh, yes. Go back to your meme,
so
Tommy.
My friend Nate, who sends me incredible things, Mr. Casper,
yes,
sends me this meme, and it's that scene, but it's a cartoon, and it's got, instead of Batman or Superman, there's Wonder Woman, and Batman's like, do you bleed? And she's like, yes, 5 days a month. And he's like, ew, ew. It was pretty great.
I thought we were
tabling that.
Yeah, I untabled it. You know why? Because I got the record button.
Fair enough.
I
have a hard time generating, like, the only reason that's gonna bring me out to see that movie at this point is curiosity. Like, I wouldn't say I'm excited about it, but I definitely want to, you know, I want to see what it's all about and see what direction they go with it. But I'm not looking forward to it.
Here's the thing.
I'm sure it'll have moments.
Batman's my favorite superhero ever. Period. Always has been. If there's a thing I'm almost as into as Star Wars, it's Batman. And I have zero enthusiasm for this movie. And you guys can see the unending pools of enthusiasm I can muster.
That's right. True.
Wah, 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 wah.
I feel for you. We don't need to go into it, but I feel the same way, or getting to be, with the Ghostbusters film, the more I learn about it.
And Spider-Man movies.
And Spider-Man. Like, after the last one, I was like, well, no, that's not true. I'm very excited for what they're doing.
I still haven't watched the second one yet.
It's because it changed hands.
I'll show you some parts.
Go back to Michael Chabon. So go to Lucas's house. Sam Raimi Spider-Man 2. You'll just
That's great.
So if you go to Lucas's house, he will show you some parts.
I'll show you all the good parts.
All the parts.
The sticky ones. The
tip. Oh.
So speaking of Ghostbusters, you want to talk about that?
We can.
Unless you want to talk about Joker.
There's no
first.
Bill Murray. I don't want to see it.
I think we should talk about Joker first.
All right, you remember, because Will wants to talk Ghostbusters after.
All right, we'll get to Ghostbusters here in just a sec.
Do we even need to talk? It's going to be the same line, like, man, that looks stupid.
Well,
I want to hear you say it, though.
So, today, being, what's the fucking
24th
date?
April
24th. They just released the first official image of Jared Leto, or Leto, or however the fucking way you say his last name, as him as the Joker. Now, they've been teasing, like, certain things about it for a while now. He cut off his trademark long hair. They showed it dyed green. Just some other stuff. They finally released the first official image. He has got, like, a grill, like a platinum grill. He's got ha 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 tattoos down his chest. He's got playing cards tattooed up on his between his shoulder and his neck. He has got a big smiling red-lipped grin on his forearm. And he's got the word damaged tattooed across his forehead right below his hairline.
So, like, Billy Idol meets Lil Wayne meets Willem Dafoe.
That
from Spider-Man.
I couldn't imagine a more perfect description.
Have you ever read or seen a depiction of Joker that would have the patience to sit and get a tattoo, let alone a dozen of them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And some well-done tattoos,
like,
as
that
well.
That would be like 25 tattoo artists dead.
Yeah.
Like, they would have killed all of them.
What this reminds me of is a cosplayer's take on the Joker. And I don't mean that to be negative towards cosplayers, but I
like
see
some twist on it.
Yeah,
they
some twist.
To be,
you know, cosplayers are always like taking like some like really good original twists on the Joker.
Steampunk.
Yeah.
Some
like,
liberty.
Yeah, and here's the thing: if I saw a cosplayer dressed up as this kind of Joker, I would probably think that's pretty cool.
Or not dressed. He's not wearing a shirt.
Yeah. Like, all
right,
cool. That's
a
good
wife beater, right?
That's a good. No,
he's not
he's
wearing
shirtless.
A shirt.
I think
he's
has
hey, little Joker, what have you done?
It's a nice day for a Joker.
You gotta finish it.
I didn't know where to go with it. I got confused.
There's been a lot of beer.
I get confused
I understand
easily.
Where they're like, we've got to go a totally different direction than Heath Ledger was. And Heath Ledger was like, I've got to go a different direction than Jack Nicholson. And Jack Nicholson's like, who's the Joker? Let's do this.
He was so good as the Joker.
No, I love Jack Nicholson's Joker. I even like Cesar Romero's Joker.
That scene in the movie where they go into the art museum and there's that shitty like 80s pop playing. And
that was all Prince, man.
Oh, it was fucking rad.
Did you say it was rad?
That scene was amazing. I love that scene.
I don't know what this is, but it's art.
He looks like a goddamn juggalo. And if there is one group of people that I am completely unabashed about hating, it's juggalos.
Juggalos aren't that bad. They just don't believe in magnets.
Fuck juggalos.
Or science.
Or science.
I'm going to go out on a limb here. And if we have any juggalo listeners, they can go ahead and turn this shit off because I give zero fucks. He looks like a goddamn juggalo.
You can stop listening to Tyson, but I want you to keep listening.
Juggalo listeners, actually send us an email, feedback@bigshinyrobot.com.
Hey, you can email me directly at Tyson@bigshinyrobot.com.
And buy Bohemian Beer.
If you show up with a hatchet tattoo at the premiere, you get a free purple Faygo.
I don't like the look, and I've talked before, we've talked about DC just shooting from the fucking hip about this kind of stuff, jumping right into a Suicide
Squad
movie.
They're not shooting from the hip, they're shooting themselves in the foot.
And from the hip.
Yeah, they couldn't get it far enough away from their hip.
They couldn't get it out of the holster, and so they just pulled the trigger.
Hey man, that happens to us men sometimes. You leave us the fuck out of it.
Jesus. You know how I'd be excited about this movie if they announced that Gail Simone was writing it?
The Suicide Squad movie?
Yeah.
Okay, let me tell you what my biggest problem about the Suicide Squad movie is that they are causing DC to retract the character rights from the television shows, which are already hits, and in one case, 3 seasons in and still doing just fine. It's causing them to pull characters from that show because they don't want to cause quote-unquote confusion between the two, but they're perfectly fine with having a Flash television show and the Flash still appearing in a Justice League film.
I said this last podcast. Fucking retarded.
Agreed. Yeah, I don't get it.
You know what I know what I realized? We didn't do introductions, and there was no funny thing from Kylie today.
We did do introductions, but I did them in a different way.
Mm.
Pay attention, Tom.
Was an hour ago.
Yeah, I know, and it just hit me.
Wait a second, guys.
It was 44 minutes by my clock, 42 by Tom's.
Yeah, can we start over?
Yeah, new episode.
Ghostbusters?
Yeah, let's talk Ghostbusters. So provide a little background, some source has supposedly read like the outline of the script. Right? Not the actual script, but like the main 8-10 bullet points of this new Ghostbusters script that Kevin Feige is directing.
Kevin Feige is a good guy.
No, yeah, I know. Sorry. No, that's my bad. Sorry. Paul Feig is directing, featuring Kristen Wiig, Melissa McCarthy, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. I read it and I was kind of appalled, but Lucas, I will I'll let you take it away.
So more and more I've try to be optimistic about this, but more and more like different news is kind of being released, or if you read between the lines.
I think we've probably been some of the most optimistic people about this.
So one thing I want to touch on, I was reading through WikiLeaks, I believe is who it is that posted up all the Sony emails, right?
Yeah.
Which is hilarious. So I was reading through some of the Ghostbusters ones.
I was going to say little boys.
Yes. Keep that to yourself, Will. Paul Feig didn't want to be a part of the Ghostbusters franchise. Amy Pascal wanted him to do it based on the success he had with Bridesmaids and The Heat. So they kept approaching him and saying, we want you to do this. And he kept saying, I'm not the guy for this movie. It's
too big
for me.
They said they quartered him for like almost an entire year.
Yeah, so he was not very interested in it. So that's a little worrisome. And then I think that it says a lot that the studio has now, they're doing this Chris Pratt and Channing Tatum version. And you have Dan Aykroyd and Ivan Reitman, who in the emails are referred to as probably being pissed off based off of what Paul Feig's doing. There's a lot of hinting around to that. And Ivan Reitman and Dan Aykroyd created a company within Sony Pictures called Ghost Core, where they're doing their own Ghostbusters stuff. And anything involved with Ghostbusters will be related to that. Anytime Paul Feig is shown in an interview, asked about Ghost Core or about this male... Well, and it's not a male Ghostbusters film. That's what it's been called. But there's no casting. It's just Channing Tatum's Ghostbusters.
The other
more
Ghostbuster
accurate.
Film.
And real Ghostbusters.
The real Ghostbusters. So Paul Feig says, I don't know anything about that. I don't know anything about Ghost Core. I'm making my movie, and I'm doing the best I can with this. And anytime it's brought up in an interview, he comes across as very irritated. So between these things, and then the final straw for me was the budget. I forget the numbers, but the budget was actually considerably lower for the type of movie they're making. He's getting kind of bottom dollar to try to make it happen. I didn't have a lot of faith in it. And then I read this.
Can we talk about... all right, so some of the bullet points. Help me remember some if I forget them. They talked
basically
about.
Basically Ghostbusters 1.
Right, but... Yeah, women. So they're essentially retreading Ghostbusters 1.
With some Ghostbusters 2 stuff in it.
Yeah, and what they're doing is...
So Viggo?
They're retreading stuff, but without... Like, directly, I'll get to that. Without directly retreading it, but in the meantime, winking and nodding at all the things from the original film. So, for instance, at one point, Melissa McCarthy and Kristen Wiig's character, they've decided to start up this, you know, this ghost extermination business, and they've got a real estate agent showing them different locations to purchase, and they take them to a firehouse. And they,
of course,
they can't afford it, and so they mentioned something at that point about
they
that
didn't
would,
even haggle with the guy.
Well, no.
Like, fuck, whatever.
And that's where the comment comes in that it wouldn't
meet their power needs.
No, that it would their petty cash wouldn't cover it. You know, something like that. So they ultimately end up in an apartment over a Chinese restaurant, but so completely different. But winking and nodding towards the other thing.
So some of the other things it feels like it's kind of more pandering. The ghost, the character that Peter Dinklage supposedly is playing has these like devices that he's putting down in the tunnels of New York, which are bringing forth paranormal activity. And I forget which. I think it's the black woman from SNL. Her character Leslie. I forget her name. Anyhow, she discovers them because she works for the sewage system, and so she goes to the two girls that aren't Ghostbusters yet but are thinking about becoming Ghostbusters, and they all dress up in jumpsuits to go down through the sewers to check it out. So it's all these kind of like happenstance things to reference the original Ghostbusters. Leslie's character, her like grandma or mom owns a hearse, so that's the car they drive. It's just kind of silly. All these little
Can we talk about Slimer?
So, no, I don't want to talk about
Slimer. No, I want to talk about Slimer.
Well, let me get on some of this other
stuff. All right.
Because that's just dumb.
Fucking dumb.
They're doing a bunch of dumb things with it, if this is true. This could all be bullshit. But the...
Slimer always fucking sucked.
Everybody bitches.
Whoa!
It's true. Slimer did always suck. When he was Onion Head, he was fine. But,
Was he supposed to be the ghost of John Belushi?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That didn't suck.
Right? And that was the first one.
That was Onion Head.
So, with Ghostbusters... It was kind of an origin film, and there are no real character arcs, but it's an origin film of their business. And everybody's bitching, like, why do we keep having these origin films? And I feel the same way about Ghostbusters. There's a franchise there. There's no reason to really delve into that again. Well, it'd be like Men in Black. They've revisited. Sony has. Could you imagine if they decided, hey, Men in Black's great, but what if we reestablish it, and this time we're going to have all females running Men in Black, and we're going to reset up how Men in Black is formed, and instead of being in New York in this building, we're going to do this slightly different thing with this. Instead of driving a Lincoln, they're going to drive a Cadillac. It'd be like they're wasting time.
Like Sony doing Spider-Man, but with Spider-Gwen, and it would be all the same, you know, it'd be...
Right, exactly. It's like, why not just jump in and do a story? So the stuff Dyson's talking about is they're actually giving a background story to Slimer, or
and
some version of Slimer.
Atrocious.
Well, do tell.
They're using some kind of proton pack that hasn't been tested, but instead of like it grabbing or wrangling them, it blows off this first ghost they go after, blows off its appendages. So then it's just like a floating green head.
Yeah, so essentially they show up at like a hotel or something like that to take care of a ghost, and it's this giant green ghost of a New York mafioso guy, right? And like Lucas said, the proton packs blow off his appendages, like his arms and his legs, and so then he's just a body and a torso, and then they eventually take the torso out, and then the head falls to the ground, and it's just this green floating head, which then becomes...
It takes off, and...
Yeah, it takes off, and...
That turns into Slimer.
Yeah.
If this outline is correct.
If it's correct. And it's
just, well,
and there's no Marshmallow Man.
No, instead they've got a giant Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yeah, they've got a giant ghost of a Tyrannosaurus
Rex. You see what I'm saying? Like they did the same thing Ghostbusters 2. They restart the business. They bring in the same hits. You know, like
I think Ghostbusters 2 has a lot of really interesting stuff, though. Like as much crap as I give Ghostbusters 2, like it's like, well, they fixed the ghost problem. What are they going to do now?
Yeah.
Birthday parties.
You know, like that's funny to me.
And this is I don't know if it's irritating or the best part of the whole pitch, but the climax of the film is stolen from the Tim Allen movie. the space movie. Why can't I think of the name? Galaxy Quest. Because they come out of the sewers in their jumpsuits from the sewer with the proton packs into a comic convention, and nobody pays them any wiser because they assume they're cosplayers, and they bust a ghost in the middle of a comic convention.
And all the people there think it's just a show.
And so nobody can, it's like a Ben Stiller thing. Nobody believes that ghosts are real. The whole movie is nobody's believing that this is actually happening, that it's all just staged by them. It sounds really dumb.
And they ain't afraid of no ghosts.
And what do you think, Will, based off of everything I've said?
Fuck that shit.
Fuck that shit. Will, the Bohemian.
Yeah, I was...
I can see it on the poster.
That little, like, spoof. Yeah. They've done that in so many movies, it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. I don't get the point.
I think it'll be a blip, and then whatever... The Channing Tatum one could be shit, but I think it's a blip, and then Dan Aykroyd and Ivan Reitman in the studio are now saying, okay, we got to like follow through with this, because there has to be something for this franchise to help promote the toys we're putting out, because they're putting out a shitload, and then the next thing will be their investment.
Right.
Well, where is Bill Murray in all this?
He doesn't want to be involved.
Golfing? Yeah.
Exactly.
He doesn't want to be involved. Dan Aykroyd wants to, because it's probably the highlight of his career, one of the main highlights.
Yeah, he ran out of money, so he's got to do something.
What about Gross Point Blank?
He's
selling a lot of vodka.
He's
probably getting a lot of royalties from still Ghostbusters, Saturday Night Live.
Blues Brothers.
And he's still performing. Like, he owns all those House of Blueses, right?
He just started his own record company. For blues, where they're finding like blues musicians today.
Well,
so he's doing all right.
I would say we hit on the podcast historically. We have tried to be and have been pretty optimistic about this whole Ghostbusters reboot thing. And I what I don't understand is that Dan Aykroyd and who else?
Ivan Reitman.
Yeah, Ivan Reitman started this Ghost Corps thing within Sony Pictures to handle all the Ghostbusters related.
But apparently not this one.
Business, right? Yeah, so why is this the outlier, and why is Sony pushing it forward so hard?
This is the company that pulled the plug on Sam Raimi's Spider-Man 4.
Right, and employed Avi Arad for all those years.
Yeah, like, they don't know what the hell they're doing.
Well, and I didn't realize this, because I guess I never looked it up, but... So Columbia Pictures is who put out Ghostbusters 1 and Ghostbusters 2, and Sony purchased them after Ghostbusters 2 came out. So they've never put a Ghostbusters out.
Right.
And I didn't realize that. For some reason, I thought it might have been before 2. So
they just don't know what to do with it.
But they want some money out of that franchise.
And I will say this. As we said before, these bullet points, I mean, they could... Supposedly they came from a reliable source.
And knowing
these are
Sony
right
with
from,
how their shit leaks like a sieve, I'm
exactly.
sure.
Exactly. I have reason to believe that these are at least partially true. I am officially unexcited for this movie in any way, shape, or form.
I wish you guys need to go back and read some of those emails. I posted some of them in our Slack group because it's fucking hilarious. Something would get posted about, like, Paul Feig is directing an all-female Ghostbusters, and then an email from Amy Pascal being like, what the fuck, guys? How the hell did this get out? Who leaked this shit? You know, Ivan Reitman's going to be pissed because he doesn't know about this yet. Well, we got to figure out how to put out a press release. And that's like every email I found based on the Ghostbusters was like, holy shit, who leaked this? Well, now we got to go through with it.
It's like those Spider-Man emails.
Well, no, that's what happened with Spider-Man and Marvel. Everybody was like, well, you know, it almost happened. Marvel almost got their hands on Spider-Man for the Avengers movies. And everybody was like, wow, that would have been the best move Sony ever made with Spider-Man. And then they're like, well... Shit, if that maybe that would be a good move.
Sony
Let's
should
do
just,
it.
Let's Sony do it. Should just start crowdsourcing all of their big business decisions. It seems like it would probably be a better path.
So, and another thing I didn't mention that kind of seems like this is all a blip is Dan Aykroyd, and he's been the guy that continues to pound the drum of Ghostbusters 3. He again, like a month ago, said, this is great. Ghost Corps is great, and it's awesome that this female Ghostbusters movie is going to come out, and maybe this other one with Channing Tatum, because then here pretty soon maybe we'll get to do the Ghostbusters 3 with the original cast. It's like, they must have zero faith in this fucking movie, or these two movies, if they're saying, yeah, we still want to do one with the original guys.
But again, the Ghostbusters, the two original Ghostbusters films already established, they even say in the movies, like, imagine what the franchise...
the franchise rights alone will make us rich beyond our wildest dreams.
Exactly. They mentioned that in the movie. It seems like such a no-fucking-brainer to say, okay, this next Ghostbusters film featuring Kristen Wiig, Melissa McCarthy, and company is going to be an offshoot of these original movies.
In Malibu, San Francisco.
A different franchise, and then go off and do your own thing. Why try to reboot this shit with winks and nods to the original that you know isn't going to even come close to living up?
The thing is, who are they pandering to at that point?
Right. Fuck so, if I know.
In their defense, though, following Bill Murray's advice from the first Ghostbusters movie, he was drinking in public, which isn't a smart choice. So, you know, maybe he was giving two pieces of bad advice. Don't franchise.
Call it fate. Call it luck.
Call it karma.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You've earned it.
You've earned it.
I think it'll be a blip. And it's sad because I know, like, Rebecca, who may or may not end up listening to this, she's very probably invested not. In this being a good movie. She probably won't be.
You're going to get a tweet, like, immediately as she's listening to this.
I know, because I was tweeting, I was listening to yours, and I was talking shit on you guys on Twitter, but it doesn't matter. Damn it, underscore Lucas.
You're only talking shit on us as we were talking shit on you. So
it's all right. Fair. So I don't think this is going to be a very good movie.
Right, but you
and
keep
it's
saying,
not based on it being females or being a new movie. I think it's just
you
the deck stacked against it.
You kind of keep saying it's just going to end up being a blip, though. But don't you think there should be concern that this could end up hurting the franchise in the long run?
No, it's Ghostbusters. It's a big franchise. No offense to Brian or your love of Star Wars, but with how much people dislike the prequels, or it seems that they have by the voice, Star Wars is still going very strong.
This is actually a point I make to people. And I love Phantom Menace probably more than
anybody.
Everyone in this room combined or anybody really.
I don't think I've said probably.
And I'll tell people, like, they're like, well, what if this movie's bad? And it's like, if Phantom Menace, which I love, didn't kill Star Wars, nothing can.
But can the same be said for Ghostbusters?
Yes.
So how much money did Ghostbusters make?
A fuck ton.
Yeah, okay. And how much money did Bridesmaids make?
Not so much because it was rated R.
And everyone forgot about it, right? It'll be a blip. They'll come out with it. Like, it doesn't matter. You get Bill Murray back in the suit. It doesn't matter how much this damages the franchise.
To quote Bill Murray, it just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And
at the end of the day,
matter.
It's an unnecessary blip.
Thanks,
Kylie. Again, they could change direction. They could say it's... They could just...
How,
yeah, it's frustrating.
How much attention did Bill Murray get when he just put on the suit for that, what was it, the MTV
Scream
Music
Awards?
Or the Scream Awards?
Awards?
Like,
yeah.
He put the suit on and took over the internet for 3 days.
No, that's true. And I think that Bill Murray still would be involved, and there's lots of hints that he would be. I think a lot of things.
Catch him on a good day.
Things were happening behind the scenes. Him and Harold Ramis hadn't talked since Groundhog Day, and they had just barely made up 3 years before Harold Ramis. No, it wasn't even that. It was like...
It was like a year and a half.
But it was pretty close to when Harold Ramis died, and Harold Ramis had been sick for a long time. So I think Bill Murray was like, guys, let's not kid ourselves, Dan Aykroyd. Like, I know you really want to do this, but that's not going to happen with him and the way he is. But now, you know, maybe he would show up. And I think the role of him being like a politician elsewhere, you know, fucking with the Walter Pecks.
Yeah. I think it'd be great.
He would be like, he would have like a pundit TV show.
Yeah. He's like, you know? The Bill O'Reilly. Nice. It doesn't fucking believe a word he's saying, but he's saying it because he's making some buku bucks. Because I don't think he necessarily believed in the Ghostbusters. When you go back and watch that movie, he was just kind of along for the ride and was like,
he's very like, okay, sure, let's do this.
Yeah. Let's make some money.
That's an unlicensed nuclear accelerator. Fine.
Yeah. And then when the shit hit the fan and they actually started blowing stuff up, he was like, yeah. All right.
He's still like a little incredulous about it.
Especially at the end. It's like, I love this plan.
Yeah.
Let's fucking blow ourselves up.
Important safety tip.
So.
Nah, it'll. We'll see what happens, I suppose. We'll see.
I'm excited. There's a lot of good stuff coming out, though. Like the diamond distribution figures. And they've got some cool.
I saw those, the new figures.
Some cool stuff
What's
coming out.
What's the price point on those?
I think diamond stuff's usually 20, 25,
yeah,
30.
About 25
I can,
bucks.
Finally, some Ghostbuster figures I can buy.
And you could have bought the last ones.
They look pretty decent.
I guess you couldn't, because those were like... Yeah, never mind.
They were a little
these
more
are
expensive.
Really, they were cheaper, but they were harder to get, because you had to get them on the website.
The Maddie collector shit, yeah. Right? Yeah, that's what I don't want to put in effort. I want a good figure for $20 that I can buy at Target.
The like, wisdom of Tyson Hoover.
Yes.
True.
I don't want to put in effort.
I don't want to put in effort. Lucas is out there buying my Daredevil figures for me.
I told
me.
Him I would. You guys should check out... We're not going to talk much about it, but the Marvel Legends figures now for the like the Spider-Man run... It's fucking amazing.
I checked Target
doing, like,
today.
Ultimate characters.
That sounds like effort, Tyson.
No, I was at Target today.
He
and
was
I checked
there.
For it. Yeah, I was already there buying some underwear, and so I just figured I'd walk down the toy aisle like I always do. I saw the Spider-Man figure that comes with the pizza.
He's pretty sweet.
Yeah, but I didn't see any Daredevil figures.
He's got two heads, and then one's where his mask is pulled up. They're cool figures.
I can't wait to go home and finish Daredevil tonight, or at least another episode.
And then, Brian, can we tweet it? Can we tweet each other about it?
It's really good.
As soon as I finish it, we will tweet the hell out of each other.
Oh, it's going to be so good.
I'm two away, guys.
And if you've lived under a rock, season two has been confirmed for next year already.
Wow. And it's a different writer, too.
Right.
Showrunner, excuse me.
Because the showrunner left to do Spider-Man and other things.
Or something.
No, he left to do Spider-Man and some of the other Marvel stuff.
And,
which helps tie into that.
But the two guys that are taking it over have been involved in season
one. Yeah, they've been like groomed to run it, right?
Yeah, they were involved in season one.
And you mentioned a Bullseye cameo.
Oh, yeah,
catch.
All right.
You should hear this.
I'm only four episodes in.
But he hasn't seen it.
You're only four episodes in?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't spoil it.
Fuck.
I got Stilt. Did you see Stilt Man's?
I saw Stilt Man's Stilt. So I hold on. I can describe this without spoiling it for him.
Yeah.
So.
I've heard this before, but you should keep going.
No. So there's a lot of...
If you spoil this for me, I
won't spoil it for you. So there's a lot of Easter eggs in here, like Kylie mentioned, the Stilt Man. So whenever you...
Because that's a cameo we needed.
Well, no, just you only see his stilts.
It works where it's at.
Stilts?
Right?
Yeah. Daredevil fights a guy who's...
You just had their mind blown. Yeah.
So imagine the meeting for this, right? They're sitting there, and they're like, all right, I got it. Stilt Man.
I'm sure Stanley needed something.
That's the joke.
There was a team of writers that came together.
It was just Stan Lee.
Yeah.
Or Stan Lee.
But so when you finally see Fisk in Potter's shop, there's a bunch of Easter eggs there and stuff, that because you know who Melvin Potter is, right? The gladiator from the original comics and stuff, right?
Don't spoil it.
I know. I'm just saying.
Tell him about the sniper.
Oh, it's a big surprise.
Just tell him about the sniper.
All right. So... Anyway, at some point during the show, there is a sniper up on a building shooting certain people.
Did he miss?
Just listen. I'm not going to
say yes or no. Did he miss?
No, he did not miss.
Okay, then it could be Bullseye.
Hold on. They never show his face. And even before this bit of knowledge I'm about to drop, I looked at my wife and said, I bet you that is Bullseye. And sure enough, he starts, like, because they talk about, you know, get a sniper up on that roof. They talk about that he's going to be there. They show him, they don't show his face, but they show him open up a gun case and start putting together a sniper rifle. It took me a second to realize it, because I'm looking at the gun case, pause it, rewind. There is an Ace of Spades card sitting in the gun case. And then he fires off his shots. I would be willing to bet that ends up being Bullseye.
You don't see the guy's face, so it's really easy to see.
So it's real easy because Bullseye at no other point comes in and throughout this series.
Spoiler.
Oh, I'm sorry. but it's an easy setup now to bring him in like maybe season two and say that he was Fisk's henchman that was up on the roof.
I mean, in all the iterations of Bullseye I've read, though, he's sort of eschewed firearms because his whole thing is like, that's boring. I can hit a bullseye with a firearm no matter what.
But he has used firearms.
I
want to
rip off my fingernails and throw them at people.
Yeah, but he has used firearms.
That was Hawkeye did that, right? Hawkeye, like they were...
In Ultimates 2.
Yeah.
That was fucking badass. Did you read that?
You told me about it.
In a way, he
didn't want to put in the effort.
Yeah, he didn't put in the effort of reading. A couple other things. At one point, this isn't spoiling any major plot points. They do a flashback of Matt and Foggy in college, and Matt makes mention of a Greek girl that he has a thing for.
You know what I'm really excited for? Mysterio to give Karen Page AIDS.
That's what you're excited for?
Yeah. That's what I'm... Like, the second... Like, I got really excited when she's like, it's Karen Page. And my wife's sitting next to me, and she's like, what are you so giddy about? I'm like, she's going to die of AIDS. It's going to be so cool.
Isn't that called Freddie Mercury disease now? Weird.
What's this Mysterio disease I've inquired?
To those of you who have watched the entire season, I don't want an answer to this question, but I have a very... very large concern that Ben Urich doesn't make it through the season, and I'm a little irritated about it.
Nobody, don't ask dumb questions, spoiler man.
Who has seen this all the way?
I don't
want
to talk about it. I've seen it all the way. I don't want
to
talk
about it. Tom, you said you had four episodes to go.
No, I said I finished it. He is on episode four. You have two episodes left to go.
Oh, okay.
I'm a good listener.
All right.
Fisk take apart that Russian guy.
Yeah, oh, my awesome. God. That was when that's when I was like, okay, he's the kingpin.
I was watching it with my kids, and my daughter's like, I really like the show, but it's a little violent. I think it could use more friendship. And I'm just like,
She's right.
Yeah. You're right. They do need to be friends more. That would solve a lot of problems.
I want that to appear on like...
Matt Murdock and Fist Kevin Lynch be like, dude.
What the hell was that last night?
What was that all about?
I want that to appear on the Blu-ray release in like big, bold type from like a critic review. Like, more friendship. This show could use more friendship, Scout Young. I want that on there.
We could probably make that happen.
Let's do it. All right, guys. Unless there's anything else you want to talk about, that's about all the time we've got.
You guys were talking about action figures that you were interested in purchasing soon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which leads me into the Nerd Swap.
Oh, yeah.
He's coming up here soon.
For fuck's sake, yeah.
This man's a professional. He's a ringer, isn't he?
So I'm just saying, if we're talking about Nerd Swap 5 years from now, let's talk about these action figures you guys are going to purchase soon. Because it's going to be on the docket then.
probably in a couple weeks.
So for the second year in a row, we are partnering with the Bohemian Brewery to do our annual Nerd Swap meet.
Maybe more than annual.
We'll see. Well, as of right now, we are now officially... We can call it annual
Spoiler alert.
Let's hold them until I am sold out of all my video game paraphernalia in my office. Then we're good. Then we can cancel it.
But May 31st, starting at 2 p.m., how many vendors do we have signed up?
We're going to have a lot.
More than 10? More than 15?
More than 20. More than 20
people bringing some of their nerd merchandise that they're willing to part with and... allow you to purchase to make part of your own nerd collection. So again, Sunday, May 31st, 2 p.m. at the Bohemian Brewery. What's the address here? I always forget. 7200 South.
94 East Fort Union Boulevard, which is 7200 South.
There you go.
Can we talk about some of the other things? Is there anything else we can talk about? Like stuff that may be happening?
Yeah, I think we were talking about doing...
Is there a tour maybe?
We're possibly doing brewery tours, which would be super
slick.
Yeah,
we'll be doing brewery tours throughout the day. We'll have beer on tap in the parking lot, as well as some sausage for people's mouths.
I love mouth sausage.
And Tom will not be serving it, I promise.
Says you.
Tom's just going to walk around with his pants down in a bun.
Tom, get your balls out of that hot dog.
You'd be surprised how far that gets you in life.
For those of you who didn't attend last year, we had some inclement weather, and the Bohemian was incredibly accommodating and got us moved under some shelter. And despite the weather, we still had a great turnout last year.
It was fun.
So, it shocked me.
Yeah. It was a freaking fun time last year.
You guys all vended, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Am I the only one who was like, hey, I'm going to sell this thing I've had in my garage for a long time and then immediately turn to another vendor and go buy Star Wars toys?
Yeah. I bought some from Kylie.
I left with a lot of Star Wars toys.
Yeah. I had boxes in my car, but I didn't have room to put them anywhere, but I had boxes of Star Wars.
You should
hook
up with this guy on the 31st. He's got some good stuff.
I'll be there.
It'll be a good day.
It should be a lot of fun, and in case there is weather, we do have a giant tent that we'll be camped under, but I'm sure it'll be good weather.
But I'm showing up early to set up. So.
What are the odds that it would be bad weather 2 years in a row?
Well, it rains every time I come here, as Andy has informed me, including
it's
today.
It's raining today, yeah.
So I just won't come.
So Lucas will stay away that day, but the rest of us should be expecting great weather.
That's right.
But I'll come with you.
You should at least come.
2 to 7 p.m.
Yeah,
so we'll be here.
Yeah, 2 to 7 p.m. Yeah. As we mentioned, there'll be brewery tours, sausages for you to purchase. You can even, of course, step into the proper restaurant and have yourself some lunch if you'd like.
I'd also like to mention it is a family event, so you bring your kids.
Bring your kids. I mean. If you want to get your kids into like comic books and stuff, this is I would dare say
buying all of Tyson's old shit is exactly the way to start
Tyson at the swap meet.
It wasn't just me.
Like a hell of a deal.
I mean, everyone that was selling comic books there, were selling them for 50 cents, a dollar, maybe $1.50 for some more popular issues. But
you get some
comics
deals
on the cheap. You can get full runs of certain things in some cases. For far less than you pay at your local comic shop. We love our local comic shops, but if someone's already paid full price for them and they're done reading them and willing to part with them, pick them up and pass those awesome stories along to your young ones.
And better yet, think about and no knock on Kylie because he's an incredible comic book salesman. He's actually a dangerous friend to have. But think about your kids want to get into comics, you want to get them into them, so you go into a comic shop and you're trying to find a starting point, right? And this person at the comic shop is going to do everything they can to help you, but at the same time, they've got 4 million other fucking things they've got to do. They've got other people they've got to help. So this is a great environment where there's going to be 20-plus vendors, and all we want to do is sit around and talk about this shit all fucking day long to the point where some of our spouses won't even talk to us sometimes, right? That's what we want to do.
It's true.
And so you show them and say, hey, I want to get so-and-so into comics. what a great environment to have that available and have people handing that information off and be willing to help you part with
well,
that.
Well, and my favorite experience from last year's swap meet is I had a younger couple come to mine and Jimmy's table. I don't think they came specifically for the swap meet. I think maybe they had come to the restaurant and stumbled into the swap meet. But she
That's
started.
A fine. How do you do?
And,
what are we doing here?
I would love some brats and beer. What are all these nerds doing here?
What are all these nerds doing here? So she starts looking through some of the comics I was selling, and starts picking out some issues of the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles run. And just grab like some random, like judging by the covers, just grab some random ones out of the run between 1 through 10, right? Uh-huh. Like, oh, this one looks cool. It's got a cool cover and stuff like that. And I walked over and I asked her, you know, who are you buying these for? And she said, oh, well, my nephew, he loves Ninja Turtles, and I think he'd really like, you know, some Ninja Turtles comic books. And I said, okay. And I said, well, let me see what you got there. She had like issues 3, 7, 9, something like that.
Those are the lost numbers.
And I told her, I was like, all right, so these are in order, and you know, and it kind of tells a story. And she's like, I was selling mine for a buck a piece. And she's like, well, yeah, I mean, I don't even know if he's going to like the comic. He's never read a comic book. He just likes Ninja Turtles. I thought these would be cool. And I said, all right, I'll tell you what. You take these 1 through 10 off my hands. I'll give you all 10 for $5. Just... you know, let's keep the run together. It'll tell a complete story for him. I think he'll enjoy it. And she took it. And so it was cool just knowing that my comics were going to, I mean.
So see Tyson at the Big Shiny Robots swap meet, because he will cut Tyson's you a hell of a deal.
Yeah, Tyson's a sucker. Just tell him a sob story about your nephew.
Bring somebody in a wheelchair and you'll take him.
I'm a sucker for that stuff. If you
want to haggle with Tyson, just be like, all right, look, I'm going to buy issue 3, 7, and 9, and then he will give you the best deal he can.
He's not sympathetic. He's just OCD. He's like, God damn it, I don't want to split this shit up.
I can't split this shit up. No, who's gonna buy?
I worked hard
two,
to keep this together.
Yeah,
it's staying together.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, I want to buy this toy. Are you gonna take it out of the package? Get the fuck out. That'll be the conversation.
Yeah, we're gonna take it out of the package. It should be good times.
Yes,
everybody come awesome down. Times. Have some brats. Do some tour beers.
Be sure to listen to the episode 160 of the Hello Sweetie podcast. I'm on there talking a little bit more about the swap meet.
But only episode 160.
Yeah,
only,
don't listen to the rest of them.
Well, I'm just saying that specifically you can get some more information about the swap meet. Lucas, you're going to be on May 17th, somewhere around there. May 18th.
It's on my calendar. They penciled me in.
Yeah,
they had me on once.
Yeah, what?
They had
Did
me
they give
on
you
once.
More than 2 hours notice? Because they haven't given
me
that.
Yeah, they give us like 30 minutes notice. Like, it's irritating. They just, they don't realize we have, these young kids.
I told Rebecca, I'm like, I got a mortgage and a house and a yard and dogs.
Two dogs.
I don't do anything like without 2 weeks advance notice. So, and I've been that way since I was 18. Now I just have reason. So, sorry. Yeah. I'm not going to make it to your podcast tonight.
it's going to piss me off even more now because it's such a good time to be on there. And it's like,
well, even worse, it's like 3 minutes from Tyson's house and maybe 5 minutes from my house.
Yeah.
It's not that far away.
Exactly. But so episode 160, you can get some more information on the Nerd Swap Meet. Lucas will be on later this month as we get a little bit closer to the 31st to give you even more details. And I'm sure we'll be mentioning it again. And then also be sure to, if you're going to be out and about on May 18th, I want to say Monogogo. Well, let me check.
Third
no,
Friday.
It's the 16th. It's a Friday
it's
night. It's the 16th.
The
Is it the
month.
16th?
Yep.
All right. Yes. No. The 14th.
Ooh, Sam's night. We were
I
all
really
off.
Fucked this up.
Yeah. Which means you're on Hello Sweetie on the 17th.
That's it. We got to start the whole podcast over.
Nah. May 14th, Monogogo at downtown Salt Lake City. They're having their superhero gallery stroll that night. We will be there. We will be podcasting from there. So come say hi there as well.
Can I plug, cool. If you're interested in more Star Wars talk,
yes. Please.
Listen to me yak on Full of Sith,
yep.
The Full of Sith podcast.
I highly recommend it.
We've got a couple of episodes coming up so we just had our live show from Celebration drop, and we're going to be doing some more shows just talking about Star Wars.
Cool.
That's absolutely. Awesome.
Yeah, fullofsith.com.
Yeah.
Find you on iTunes.
They'll find
them. Yeah, and we post stuff on Big Shiny Robot.
Yep.
Every time, usually when we do big interviews, you'll see them up on
I'm Big Shiny Robot.
Perfect.
Will. The force is strong in this one.
Will, true. Andy, thank you guys so much for having us. This was awesome. We're looking forward to seeing you guys at the end
now
next month.
On the brewery tours, you can be like, and this is where they recorded the Big Shiny podcast.
Yeah, it's going to be a big selling point.
Yeah, and then business went down.
Yeah. All right,
this
everyone.
This is the downfall of our business.
Thank you for listening to the Big Shiny podcast. We'll catch you guys next month. Thank you for listening to the Big Shiny podcast. If you're listening to us on iTunes, please leave us a rating and a review. The Big Shiny Podcast is brought to you by the Bohemian Brewery, located at 94th East, 7200 South in Midvale, Utah, and you can find them online at bohemianbrewery.com. We're also brought to you by superherostuff.com and secretcompassonline.com. And be sure to check out bigshinyrobot.com and visit our podcast page for some more great podcasts in the Big Shiny Robot podcast family.